Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
How in the world did you become a race fan? When did you start watching racing and what got you involved into paying attention to our sport?
Well, it's funny. I have to give the credit to my older brother, Bob. I'm from Pennsylvania originally. He still lives back in PA. And growing up, he followed NASCAR. He followed motorsports. And I really wasn't into it at all. He was a few years older than I was. And I ended up going to University of Delaware. And one spring he came to visit me and I had nothing going on. And he said, "Hey, I want to check this race down at Dover. Why don't you come with me?" And I really wasn't that interested, but it's my brother. It's a weekend. There's nothing going on. Went down there, saw the race. And ever since then, I mean, I've been a fan. I think you probably hear this a lot, that anyone that appreciates a sport from a distance, once they go, I mean, they're hooked. And that was certainly the case for me. I left that race and I just kind of digested as much information as I could and start following the drivers and the tracks and as much as I could. I think once you see something like that live and the talent, you know, you realize and you have an appreciation that everybody thinks they can drive a car, but I mean, there's very few people that, you know, can do it at that level. And obviously that's why it's cool talking to you today, because you were one of the best to ever do it.
Well, I appreciate that. And you're one of the best to ever do what you do. You guys are obviously very successful. You've been in the NFL for 18 years. You've won three Super Bowls. And I to go back on that. So you talk about watching, I mean, do you have a favorite driver now? Who would you pick to be your favorite driver in today's NASCAR world?
Well, I'm off the hook now because Clint Boyer retired. So certainly I would have had to say Clint just because of his relationship with us, and he's been great. But I've been very fortunate and blessed because of the job I have to meet a lot of great people. So it's more so the person and, you know, who I know. And, you know, I've gotten obviously the Stuart Haas people. So you and Clint, through a mutual friend here at the Kansas City Chiefs, I've gotten to know Kyle Busch really well. And then our mutual friend, Chad Wheeler, he's close with Kyle Larson. So I've gotten to say hi and talk to him. So all those guys that I've been able to spend time with and get to know, I really appreciate. It's funny with Kyle Busch. He's one of those guys, when I followed it before I was doing what I was doing, didn't like Kyle Busch. And I mean, he was a villain, if you will, in the NASCAR circuit. And then you get to meet him and you just realize he's wired just like you are. He just wants to win at all costs and doesn't care what people think or what they say. Like, he's just going to do his thing. So since getting to meet him and know him, I obviously a great appreciation for him. But I mean, the one cool thing that I've always appreciated in my time going to NASCAR events and getting the opportunity to spend time with you guys is how like hospitable and gracious those events are. I mean, you know, you get to do a lot of cool things when you're in this type of position and go to a lot of events. And Kevin, we were just talking about the F1 race, but the people at NASCAR are just so accommodating. And when you go there, it's not just a wave or here's a section to view the race. I mean, they give you whatever access that you want, and they let you experience anything you want. I remember I took Coach Reed to his first NASCAR race like 3 years ago, and Pat Warren, it was giving us the garage passes. We were walking through, and I was basically telling Coach, you know, you can kind of go wherever you want, and I'll introduce you to drivers. And I think Austin Dillon saw him, pulled him right in the garage and right through the specs and all that stuff. And that was really cool. But the cool thing is, it's not just Coach Reed. It's really, they treat everyone like that. And I think that's the really cool thing about your sport.
So I want to back up a little bit here. We're going to back up to your t-shirt. You mentioned Chad Wheeler. So are you a sim racer?
So, I mean, I don't know if you would classify me as a sim racer. I'm more of a novice. So actually I have to give credit, to your manager, Josh, because during COVID there wasn't a lot to do. And you won that Darlington race during COVID, right? Darlington. Yes. Yeah, so I have a pretty good memory. And I was sitting there, we were watching the races, but a few weeks prior to that, I think you guys were hopping on and doing the virtual racing. So I called Eric and I was like, man, there's nothing going on. You know, how much you think one of these costs? And this would be really cool to have. And Eric was like, I got a guy, Harvick's guy, Josh. Like, he knows everybody. So he got me in touch with Josh. Josh got me in touch with Chad. And I have two of them now. I have one that just does the F1 stuff. And then one of them that just does the NASCAR stuff. So the F1 stuff is more of like EA type driven stuff because it's really a little bit too technical for me, those cars. Not that I'm any good at anything, but I can at least be functional to a point where I can have fun but I enjoy it. And I understand your son's obviously super talented at that too. So I don't think I'm at your son's level, but I'm enough to occupy myself with some free time.
So do you get on there and just practice, or do you actually get in some races and get in there and compete?
Yeah. So what I do is kind of the computer racing, and you know, they have the skill level, and I just try to, it usually takes me about 2 or 3 weeks to get like competent at a track. So I'll just hop on a track, say Kansas Motor Speedway. And then, you know, I'll start at that middle level and, you know, then try to work my way up and see how I can go. But then, I got frustrated. I was actually calling Clint because, you know, once you get to a certain level, those cars run like perfect lines every single lap. And then you get to the point where you realize that if you don't know how to set up a car and to make little tweaks, like, you're not going to be like the elite level computer racing because they just run the same line and it's perfect every single time. So I was literally like sending, you know, the setup page of the car. I don't know anything about setting a car up. So I would be sending Chad and Clint some videos and some screenshots of, you know, how do I adjust this car? Cause it just, you know, this thing, I cannot keep the back end down after 10 laps, and especially against this level of competition. So they try to give me pointers every now and then, but you know, I'm sure they have better things to do than to sit there on a phone call and help me adjust a car on a simulator.
So have you ever driven any race cars or anything outside on a real racetrack?
No, I've not. Again,
street cars, anything?
No, haven't on the bucket list to do. Again, Pat Warren, track president at Kansas Motor Speedway, he's invited me out a few times, and it's certainly something that is on the bucket list to do. We have, and I'm sure you can relate to this because, you know, when you were driving, I mean, the schedules are so crazy where our schedules are like ridiculous. It's, I mean, we start in July. I mean, there's more games now, I mean, than there used to be in the past. And so we end up starting our training camp is in July. And then, you know, if you're fortunate enough to have a good season like we've had in the past, I mean, you're playing until February. And then right from February, you go into the free agency period, then you go into the draft, and then the rookies come in and the new players come in for OTAs. And so you're leaving in June and you're coming back, you're leaving mid-June and you're coming back mid-July. So it's really an 11-month process for us. So once I'm able to find a way to work out some free time in my schedule, it's certainly on the bucket list of things to do, get to a track and cut some laps.
Do you have like a car collection, any fancy cars, anything in your garage?
No, well, listen, I'm pretty basic. I'm a Ford guy. Been a Ford guy my whole life, I think. I love the NASCAR and everything about it. And so I have a Roush Raptor and GT500, and those are all you need here in Missouri. So
I'm good with those. Just you know, some normal cars, but. What was your first car? What was your first car that you remember having?
So it's funny because I was listening to some of your podcasts here, and I was laughing when you had Joe Girardi on, and he mentioned a Ford Tempo. But my first car was a Ford Tempo. My great aunt passed away. I didn't have a car in high school at all, and I didn't actually have a car my freshman year in college. My great aunt passed away, and they were going through some of her old belongings. She had like a 92 Ford Tempo, and I said, look, I'll take it. It'll get me from point A to point B. So had that. I think it had 150,000 miles on it. And I think I got a year out of it before it kind of blew up on the side of the road. So,
Did you leave it?
I started with a Ford. Yeah.
Did you leave it there?
I got towed. It was in the parking lot after one class. It just wouldn't start. And I rolled the dice as long as I could with that car. I think there were multiple occasions where it was stalling out on Main Street on campus there. And super embarrassing when you're, you know, a college kid and you're cars kind of stalling out in between classes, but I did find a way to get through a year with it. And I think it just died in a parking lot somewhere.